James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
I wish I could have played that whole song for the intro. It's kind of a spooky, and if you didn't know, listen to the words, it almost sounds sacrilegious, but you have this person, the angel of death or whatever, asking Jesus, just let him go, and then what he has done in this past segment, the words. I mean, I really get choked up when I listen to the song. Probably won't be able to play it again because the context is so direct to this. But we are talking with Lionel Parkinson, the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, which is a perhaps, and that's what discussion is, that could be the most accurate gospel available to us, given the teachings, life of Jesus as recorded by his 12 disciples. And welcome back, Lionel.
Great. Yeah. You know, this is the longest program I've done with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could in this book. I mean, I'll go on. I mean, when I read your book, I just read your book. I didn't read your book with any expectations. In fact, I guess I'd have to be honest to say there was probably just a tinge of fear because I, who knows what was going to happen from it? It was going to tear down God and it was going to be atheistic. I didn't think so, but I was going to read it anyway because truth is truth, regardless. If it's fact, it's fact. And when I read your book, it was so wonderful. It was just so, like, it just took all guilt away, all, like, you know, it showed the true, honest, loving God, and then Jesus' mission and so forth. And then going into the Gospel of 12, I'm just like, holy, this Gospel of 12 is what I refer to now when I talk about, like, New Testament writings. It is so rich and full of stuff. So, I mean, I can talk about this for hours.
Yeah, I end up doing that a lot of times, a lot of places that I go, because a lot of people now are familiar with me and the book. And, you know, I find myself in this conversations very, very much. And I really appreciate somebody taking the time and devoting, you know, a program to it, because this version is, let's face it, this might be the last time a lot of people will ever hear about this version in their lifetime. And so I really appreciate the time that you've given me to speak about it.
I've done a lot of studying on this. I mean, I've been studying Bible stuff for many years. Taught it in a Baptist, a fundamental Baptist school, Sunday school. I studied a lot of it. In fact, what actually got me to find the flaws, which showed me the flaws in the Baptist theology, was from reading the Bible, surprisingly enough. But so when I got this, it just gave me a better, clearer vision, and it also confirmed some of my own internal guidance that I had certain feelings and certain things about it. Didn't have the legalistic proof. But then it kind of taught me to trust my insideness, that it is rejuvenating and regenerating by looking at that positive, loving thing. Over time, it does change things and so on. So it really helps. But before I get lost, I did have something I wanted to mention. The one of the differences between the canonical Gospels and the Gospel of the Holy Twelve is that Judas, right off the bat, is never a disciple. He is one of the group, but he is never one of the 12. In fact, they mentioned the 12. I had it earlier, but it's kind of irrelevant just to go through all the names. They mentioned the 12, and then they mentioned, and Judas was there also, but he wasn't one of the disciples.
That's correct, yeah.
So that's pretty interesting that they're saying this. And when one of the things that bothered me in Christendom was, if he was a disciple and Jesus chose him, and he fell, you know, he failed or fell or what have you, or was used as some kind of as the movie Jesus Christ Superstars alludes to, they needed somebody to be the fall guy. I mean, that takes away from the majesty of God. But when you have Jesus could have been arrested at any point. Actually, somebody wrote me a letter after talking about your shows and asked if Judas was needed to betray him, and I said, no, anybody, I mean, he could have been arrested I don't know how many times, so anybody could have arrested him at any time, at any point. He didn't need to have Judas betray him. Somebody else could have, the Pharisees or whatnot. So that was an aside thing.
That's true, and the fact that in the Gospel of Holy Twelve, it also does cover a lot more in detail when Judas did end up dead. He never was one of the apostles. However, one of the reasons why they had to vote in another apostle, another 12th apostle in by the name of Matthias, was because they moved Peter up in above the whole church, even above the apostleship, as sort of a temporary successor of Christ, according to the Gospel of Holy Twelve. Therefore, when they elected Matthias, and even that election of Matthias is recorded in the book of Acts.
And he was there, they mentioned in the same thing, he was there from the beginning, so he would have been like, we'll call it the 13th disciple, so to speak. So he was a natural one. Him and Barsabbas, I think it is, were the natural ones to pick. And also it mentions that James was made the head of the Jerusalem church.
Yeah, later on, it's quite interesting and informative. But even the Gospel of Holy Twelve will stop at some point where we don't know afterwards. You know, it pretty much after the ascension of Jesus, he would come back several times, but eventually everything kind of fades away after that. So, but as far as the story of the 12th apostle, it was never meant to be replaced by Paul, but it was simply Paul being moved up and another guy being elected by the name of Matthias to fill in that 12th apostle. Therefore, Judas was never the insider. He was kind of like a bought and paid for infiltrate that made a bad choice.
In fact, Paul isn't in here. Isn't mentioned at all in this whole thing.
No, and in fact, yeah, when you get into the actual books of Clementine homilies, they do talk about a Paul being very violent toward the apostles, even trying to kill James, and that section is in my book as well. Again, it's hard to verify these things, but I've never been able to find additional information to back up, you know, this particular writing about Paul. So, but I could tell by Paul's doctrine, it went very contrary to even the doctrine of Jesus in the four Gospels, not alone the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, where it just, the teachings of Paul would never have been accepted by Jesus. He was the very epitome of a snake, a serpent that Jesus warned his apostles and people that followed him to stay away from and not to believe. So I'm certainly not the only person that knows this about the corrupt writings of Paul. There's another interesting thing about the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. I know you probably want to talk about, and a lot of people will find this interesting and fascinating, but I'm totally unqualified to talk about it, and that is former lives, people having past lives. And I'll just read a segment out of the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, and it starts out saying, "And Jesus again said unto him," he's talking to a young man, "How can you know all? You can't see through walls." This is after the young man claimed, "I now know everything." Anyway, I'll start over again. "And Jesus again said unto him, How can you know all? You can't see through walls of your own house, nor read the thoughts of fellow men, nor understand the language of birds and beasts. You can't even recall the events of thy former life." There's several times in the Gospel of the Holy Twelve where Jesus is referring to people having past lives. Based on this definition, I think it's covering reincarnation, if I understand my definition correctly. And even though I can't talk with any qualifications on this matter, I find this very fascinating, because in this particular version, Jesus is referring to not just once or twice, but I can remember at least three or four times him referring to people having several chances to try and having several lives to try and get to know the Creator. You're not just given this one shot, and you know it's you're either saved or you're eternally damned. Or there is a progression that needs to be brought out in this version, that even God has compassion toward those that reject Him, even to the point where giving them additional chances by giving them additional lives to try and get this right. So,
I mean, the way it came to me was that he went and explained, I think, and I wish I could have it at my hands, but it's not footnoted as, you know, as easily. There's not like I can't do a search and come up with the, on it. But he does explain that when it talks about when you want to escape death and have eternal life, what that is escaping the death and rebirth and death and rebirth, and just have the eternal life. You no longer die anymore, is the context. What does fit into the canonical gospel, if you look at it in that way, you will no longer die, you will escape death, and all these other phrases. He does talk about a doctrine that you will live, relive, and it does also talk, and I'd have to, I got to find this to make sure I'm not, that I'm clear on it, that there isn't necessarily a limit to those rebirths, but there would be some who would die finally if they continue to be evil for life after life. If they embrace that, then they would actually die a spiritual death.
That's very true. There is an end game to all this based on this version. And I'm glad you pointed that out. The whole idea of reincarnation is not taught in modern-day alleged Christianity. It's totally rejected, and that's something I wanted to bring out, that this version is definitely mentioning this Jesus, and this version is definitely referring to past lives, such as the case that I pointed out. There's also another interesting section here where he states, there is a resurrection from the body, and there is a resurrection in the body. The body that you lay in the grave or that is consumed by fire is not the body that shall be, but they who come shall receive other bodies, yet their own, and as they have sown in one life, so shall they reap in another. It's another scripture indicating how you treat others in this life and other creations is another judgment on you in the next life. So if I'm interpreting that correctly.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's something I wanted to mention. I hopefully I'll find it before the show is out. I saw a show on TV that, I'll turn on my, I actually got it recorded. I'll turn on my other thing, I can see it. And it explained about the Shroud of Turin that when they actually looked at it microscopically, they saw that an image was three-dimensionally burned onto the fibers, and that when they used the NASA software that is used to take a two-dimensional picture and recreate three dimensions, it actually made a face and so forth. It was extremely fascinating that it talks about some type of radiation had to burn into this cloth. There wasn't any ink or wasn't any paint that made the image, that it was literally the three-dimensional variations in the outside layer of the cloth that that showed this image. And it was pretty fascinating. I mean, we're not talking about this particular, but, you know, we're kind of on the subject a little bit.
No, I know what you're talking about. I saw that same program.
It was pretty fascinating. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I was very fascinated as well. I didn't know they had a good methodical way of going about it, unlike anything in the past. And, if their information was correct, if that program was being totally honest, yeah, the information they gave out was very fascinating.
Now, let me see. There was another issue I wanted to bring up. Actually, I'm drawing a blank now. Maybe you want to say something while I...
When I was... You know, to back up a few hours ago when I was trying to convey, since Jesus didn't really come for the purpose of dying on the cross for anyone's sin, I asked the question then, why did he have to go to the cross at all? And I believe even the four Gospels answered that question, and I repeatedly always have to answer that for a lot of people, since I take up the view that the door to this kingdom, the secret kingdom that people are supposed to seek, is the very commandments of Jesus that have been ripped out of the King James Bible and shows up in this Gospel of the Holy Twelve. I know that even according to the four Gospels, Jesus never states in any statement that he's come for the purpose of dying for anyone's sins, but he does say this, "Thou sayest that I am a king, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the Father of truth. Everyone that is of the Father hears my voice." Another place where he says that I should bear witness unto the Father of truth, in Luke, again, he says, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." If there was any opportunity for him to say, "I've come to die for people's sins by going on the cross," he would have just literally said something like this based on this so-called staple doctrine that is being preached in literally every denomination in Catholic Church today. I've, in the past, offered money for theologians and scholars and pastors to show me where Jesus actually taught this, and to this day they never show me this scripture, which tells me they're either intellectually dishonest to deal with me on this, or the scripture doesn't exist at all. And I maintain that Jesus, even in the four Gospels, never makes the admission that he's come for any other reason but to be a king of a kingdom. You're supposed to seek that kingdom, and you enter in that kingdom, and then it stops there, but the Gospel of Holy 12 moves on and says, yeah, here's the key to the kingdom. This is how you get in. You keep these commandments. And these commandments literally become your whole mental makeup. They literally become your physical makeup as well, because it demands a physical change as well as a mental change, and you become a living, breathing blood and flesh of the Eternal One based on these commandments. And that is what the Gospel of Holy 12 brings us versus just the Romanized versions that really don't change people. They just tell you to trust in a bloodshed sacrifice and you're good to go. So I just wanted to kind of say that while you're thinking up your question.
All right, well, I remembered it, and it has back to Paul again. One of the other things that I remember, now, Paul's writings are among the oldest samples we have of the canonical New Testament writings. His many of his letters, several of his letters, are literally the oldest writings from the Bible, going back, I want to say, within 20 years or less. Some of them have been dated through the paper or whatever they're written on, and ink, carbon dating, and all that. And yet, when I'm reading the Gospel of 12, which doesn't mention Paul at all, in the end, when Jesus is giving more of a homily after he's risen, he says things that are exactly found in Paul's letters. And so one can look at it basically two ways, or some variations of the two, is that either Paul had these documents while writing his stuff if not to plagiarize it, at least to quote it, but not giving credit, perhaps people would understand these things and remember them or what have you, or that the writers appended the Gospel of the Twelve. Not the writers being the Essenes, per se, who weren't too thrilled with Paul. They appended it and attributed the words to Jesus. I mean, those to me look to me the two possibilities to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? I don't know.
Well, within every church that is inaccurate, you're always going to find evidence of absolute truth, and even in some cases, I think this is pretty much. And to be all honest about talking about Paul, we're really just talking about those that wrote about him. We really don't know for sure Paul is even the author of these, but I do find it interesting when I was doing a study on Paul, all his letters will start out like this, like 1 Timothy 1:1. It will say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God. Well, since when does God have to lay down a commandment to make someone an apostle? I mean,
actually, Jesus did request. Well, he said, come follow me. I mean, it's kind of a request. I don't know if he demanded them to follow him, so I guess he would say that he kind of like gave him the option, whereas Paul is saying that, he was so great that apparently God, just decreed his apostleship. It sounds like he's defending some people who think that maybe he shouldn't be there.
Yeah, in 2 Timothy, he changes it to this, and Paul, an apostle, Jesus Christ by the will of God. In Titus, he says it like this, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. In other words, he's trying to cover all psychological bases here. In Romans, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Corinthians, he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sophonas, our brother. So apparently Sophonas is also an apostle along with him. It's kind of interesting that he's trying to cover it from a commandment point of view, the will of God point of view, a servant point of view. Whoever he's trying to convey in writing to, he's got to establish credibility, but he has to do it by his own pen and not by the voice of Jesus, not by the voice of the apostles, not certainly not by an election.
Doesn't have that feel in the other apostles' writing. Doesn't have that kind of feeling. Well, hold on. We're going to stop and take our last break for the remaining hour. We have Lionel Parkinson here, the author of The Holy Virus, and we're talking particularly about the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, which is available from Lionel's website, as well as being in his book, which he has discounted for everybody for $5, for a total of $5. But you can also download the Gospel of the Twelve from his site in a PDF, or you can follow online, HTML. It is out there, it is free, and it is pretty awesome. So we'll be back to continue talking about it after these messages. Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Innerfood by Inner Health Botanicals. Innerfood is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Innerfood is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts. Not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but impotent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Innerfood is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com, and click on any InnerHealth Botanical banner and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on Feet to the Fire. Innerfood, building health from the insides out. Most people think of addictions relating to drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. However, obsessive-compulsive actions taken to excessive levels have the same biochemical goal. They stimulate the creation of natural feel-good hormones, but at a cost that causes more harm in the long run. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com.
Make sure you stay tuned, because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
Could you feed your family for a year, 2 years, or more from your garden if you had to? Do you have the right kind of seeds? Can you save your seeds from your harvest to plant next year? Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seed packs are sustainable gardening choice of home, homestead, and professional gardeners throughout North America. Heirloom Organics seed packs are designed with your specific space, light, and nutritional needs in mind. A one-pound selection of 22 seed varieties that can feed two people for a year for just $99. Got a family? The family pack has 27 seed varieties to feed a family of four. There's even a homestead pack that has 31 varieties of seeds to feed eight people for 1 year for under $250. And don't forget, these are organically grown and 100% non-genetically modified. And forget the Terminator gene that prevents you from saving seeds for next year's crop. The heirloom organic seeds can be harvested and saved from each generation to be planted the next year. Just go to our website at feedtofire.com and click on the heirloom ad to access a lifetime of natural nutrition and wholesome eating the way it was meant to be. Want to get the word out about your website or blog that addresses topics found on Feet to the Fire? Send us 20 seconds of either proofread text or a voice recording, and we will randomly play it on both our live and archive versions of the show. Email the audio or text to f2f@innersights.com.
Somewhere, I know I'll find. you somehow, and somehow I'll return again. See the way, and I've left behind the empty streets that once inspired my life, and the strength of the emotion is like thunder in the air, 'cause the promise that we made each other haunts me to the end. Searching for in everyone I meet, and the times I've been mistaken, it's impossible to say, and the grass is growing underneath our feet.
Contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll-free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
All right, we are back and we are live talking with Lionel Parkinson. The subject being the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, which is under discussion, is whether or not this is probably the best example, most accurate Gospel version, while being one of the most little known. Welcome back, Lionel.
Again, I have to kind of appreciate the fact that you would spend this much time on this as we are. It's I have done 3-hour programs before, but I think this has probably been the kindest one on me of all.
Oh well, I'm not doing softball work here. It's just that I have found these things in there myself, and if I was to be on a show, say, that was being critical of it, you know, I may be being tossed unkindness, but my point here is to find truth. And let's face it, I grew up in a traditional Christian house, so when I'm reading a book that's telling me Jesus was not immaculately born and he didn't die for my sins, well, that's pretty tough stuff to take if you've been told that your whole life, if your afterlife is based on that belief. But what is true is true, and what lack of contradiction is what I have found to be a good vehicle to find truth. And when this all lines up this way, this just has to be truth. I mean, like it or not, and in this case, if you really think about it, it's pretty excellent. It's very likable, unless you're looking for some type of legalistic get-out-of-hell-free card, that now has been taken away from you, and now you must actually find out what it is like and actually do it.
Yeah, you know? that's exactly the difference. It's the old what's being taught today, unfortunately, in churches is get out of hell free card based on a physical bloodshed sacrifice, and that is not what the message was coming from Jesus. I also found that one scripture we were trying to allude to before, but never found it, but here I might just back up, since we only have so many minutes left on this program. I'd like to just go over this again on those 12 commandments. When Jesus is finishing up with them, he's saying, "And Jesus said unto them, Behold, the new law I give unto you, which is not new but old. Even as Moses gave the 10 commandments to Israel after the flesh, so also I give unto you the 12 commandments for the kingdom of Israel after the spirit. Truly I say unto you, they who believe and obey this law shall be saved, and they who do not obey it shall be lost. But as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, and the disobedient shall be purged through many fires, and they who persist shall descend and shall perish eternally." I think that was the scripture you were referring to earlier about people having many opportunities, but there is an end game. And eventually it ends with perishing eternally. So I didn't want to leave people think that they're given life after life after life indefinitely to try and figure this out. So,
and this actually is in the canonical gospel too, when it talks about when you fertilize a tree and you cut around it and dig around it and water it, if it doesn't bear fruit, it's cut down and thrown in a fire. Well, you know, it may take years, it may take lifetimes of work, and if you continue, you know, to seek and follow and learn, you know, so that's why when you see a lot of the evil going on, and if there is devils and whatever, reptilians or whoever that are doing this stuff, their day will come. Well, either they will change or they will, you know, will be filtered out. It's just a long-suffering, it's a great Bible term, long-suffering of God and his mercy that even the evil people are given chances.
Yeah, it's amazing that in reading this whole book that it would be not given a lot more light. And I know you alluded to the reasons why when it comes down to people's appetites and personally programmed backgrounds, it does become very difficult for them to make a change when they've been told that that by believing the whole Bible as part of the whole salvation gift of God, it just doesn't. As an examiner, I knew I was taking on an enormous task, but I knew that nobody else was doing it. Even though there had been well intellectual minds in the past discrediting parts of the Bible, but they never furnished a good, strong, viable substitute to give to people in return. They would always tear it down and just leave it at that. I didn't want to do that with my book, and that's the reason why I incorporated the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. I felt enough confidence that enough accuracy of the true doctrine of this man Jesus 2,000 years ago, this information was accurate enough to forward it in with my book. So, as I have no reservations whatsoever about it, and I'm more than happy to give both of them away for the cost of shipping at $5. So,
it's a hardcover book. I want to add, it's a hardcover book. It has very nice print, very nice white pages. It's real nice size. It's not too big. It's very easy to put in a handbag or whatever and carry it with you. And it's great. You can buy the Gospel of 12. Someone else publishes it, but it's definitely not $5. And you miss, I think, a very critical point of your book, which is your book. Because from reading the first part of your book, and then you go into the second part of the book, you go in with this paradigm shift, or at least you're open to it. You know, you've been primed to go look for this love being the real consistency into accurate teachings of God. So I don't know. I don't know what I could do. I want to jump up and down, hoot and holler. If someone can buy one book from all the 8 years, seven or some years I've been on the show, I would recommend this book. I don't know what does that mean? Does that mean somebody's going to go, wow, that's great, or who could care less, or so what? But, I mean, I've read a lot of books in fact, I have a lot of, well, I don't say a lot of training because I'm not a scholar by any shape of the word. But I guess as a layperson, I've done a lot of reading on the history of textual criticism and so forth. This book will not give you the traditional textual background, which could also be false, because there are people who follow what's called the majority text, and then they throw out the Alexandrian text because it's a little different than the majority text, but yet the Alexandrian text is older. So is older better? Or is, you know what I'm saying? You get into these arguments, which really kind of doesn't matter, but what your approach is to get away from all of that and get into what is said in there, and if it lines up, and if it jives, and if it works out amongst itself. I mean, that's a very the only way we're going to be able to do this one.
Yeah, I hope people take advantage of it. Like I say, there's not too many people looking at this version, and not alone being able to have the capability to write a book and edit their own book and do their own artwork, and like I did, and carefully have at least the examination and document background that I have to know how to go about this, at least semi-intelligently, if not thoroughly. I just hope they take advantage of this and read it in their own time. And nothing beats a good hard copy, because it doesn't go away. This is a well-built book, and I'm not promoting it to make any money. I really believe that it's accurate enough to put in other people's hands so that it will change their lives and will help free their minds from the bad sections of the Bible, the ones that I know that have been corrupted, and they'll appreciate the important parts of the Bible, but also look at this new version that hasn't been corrupted by human governments and be legitimately at awe of the true historical Jesus that I think is being portrayed here. I hope this program will do that. A lot of these books do go out, and strangely enough, I see them going all over the place. So,
and you've been invited to speak all around the world on this, or at least in South America.
Well, yeah, and I'll be going back again, but it doesn't matter whether I'm here or down there. I'm dealing with the same biblical questions over and over again.
I mean it because it's more universal than it is, say, Western or, you know, Northern Hemisphere. I mean, it's a universal question that the Bible does. You know, that's another thing I want to say is since I've read your book and then several times and the Gospel of 12, I've been listening to a Bible on CD that I bought, the Canonical Bible. And it's funny now that I've read it a bunch of times and I'm kind of getting aligned with it. I'm listening to, for example, I listened to Ezekiel, and I thought, you know, this sounds pretty hard. I think this Ezekiel has been tampered with. But then when I listen to Daniel, I go, no, this is pretty good stuff here. I think Daniel's pretty good, pretty much intact. I mean, I can actually kind of pick it up from the internal energy, the internal message that comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's like once, you know, when you get on that kind of way, you can kind of then go through and it will resonate. I use the term resonate, maybe because I'm into music and a sound guy. The truth resonates inside with me, whether I like it or not. I mean, I've resonated with truth and went, you know, and I had to change, you know. So it's not that I resonate with things which work out, you know, for me.
Yeah, when I was going to mention about Daniel, he's an excellent example of someone at the time of the Babylonian conquering of the Jews. He had to deal with, you know, the king at that time, Nebuchadnezzar. And even in the first chapter of Daniel, verse 8, it says, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He had a doctrine that had been previously taught to him prior to being in captivity that told him not to eat, you know, meat and drink wine, the very things that John the Baptist and Jesus abstained from, you know, based especially on the Gospel of the Holy 12. When they were changing everybody's names at the time of their capture, Daniel, his name changed to Belshazzar, and Hananiah to Shadrach, and Mishael to Meshach. All these, they changed their whole culture back then, as well as their names, their calendars, everything. They slaughtered, you know, everyone practically, except just a few children. So by the time they, whoever is left, was raised in a Babylonian culture, and then allegedly freed by King Cyrus, and they build him a new temple in 516 B.C., but that temple was nothing more than a Babylonian temple. So all they knew was, you know, slaughtering animals, eating the meat, and drinking wine, and you know, especially sacrificing a lamb for the remission of their sins at the beginning of New Year, which is the very custom of the Jewish culture today. But Daniel knew prior not to eat meat, and he compared him and his fellows up against the king's fellows at that time, and even the king knew that what they were eating was a lot more substantial and a lot healthier, and it's just kind of fitting in.
Yeah, it was, because it does say specifically in there that they brought him his vegetables and all that stuff, and they were worried that he wasn't going to be healthy because they're so used to eating the meat. And then he says, well, just try it. Let me see. Look, you know, you will see, and so on. And then they saw that they were healthy, and, you know, and they kept on feeding him his stuff. I mean, there's a good example of something that survived, you know, the infiltration. For that matter, you know, Ezekiel may have been a Babylonian subscriber, we'll say it, a theologian. You know, we don't know. It's all... That's why one of the greatest finds, I think, would be to have a pre-exile Torah.
Oh, definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
And
that would be.
I bet you if they found it, it would be right next to the Gospel of the Holy 12 in the Vatican archives. It wouldn't be out in public, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, even if somebody was to bring it out, they'd probably find the same problem that I am. Once people are programmed to believe something for so long, even when something more accurate comes along, they don't have the internal fortitude or the internal conviction to make the appropriate changes, and things don't get done until certain men at very high places say, no, this is exactly what we should be doing, and then things can change at a high level, but on a political and religious level, everything is controlled either through you know, either the Dallas Theological Institute of Modern Pharisees or...
Right.
Or, you know, and that's about what we're looking at.
It's kind of an inside joke for those who aren't into the textual stuff. Yeah.
So.
You know, I want to mention, too, is I don't have a lot of time to read. So I was able to convert the Gospel of the Holy 12 to... by this reader that I have, Natural Voice, it's called. Actually, as a fun coincidence, the name of the voice that I use was Paul. There's a little bit of irony there. But I will offer that to anybody, since it is a public domain document. If someone would like, if they, you know, maybe they don't have time to read, or they're a hard time reader, or, you know, blind or something, It's, you know, it's not as good as someone actually reading it, but it's good enough. And I will just let me know. I'll put that up on a server or something. People can download it. But one of the things I'd love to do in my time provided is I would love to put an audio version out of the Gospel of the 12 for download. I'm not a great reader because I have eye issues, you know, dyslexic. So it would take a lot of work to do it, you know. But, boy, that would be nice. And I would also love to pen a commentary to go along with it, compare and contrasting with the Bible, Canonical Gospel 2 as well. I would love to be able to do that, and you know, I could footnote where these are, you know, I it would be great to do that, but, you know, I'm worried about, like, surviving at the moment like the rest of us on the planet, so... But you know, your book does have it. Not only your great teaching in the beginning, the eye opener, and then that. Plus, I will, you know, if someone wants to write me email or whatever, I will.
I should also mention that I don't know these other people that have the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. I have no connection with them. I've never even tried to contact them. To tell you the truth, all my examinations are done, you know, pretty much on my own and on my own time, and by request by several Christians in the past that had many questions about the Bible. So I don't know these other people that have the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. I'm sure they're, you know, I would trust them based upon their selection, based on what I know. But what I'm saying is that I have no affiliation with them. And I'm not a spokesman for them in any way. They might have heard of me. They might not have heard of me. I don't know. But
well, this one I'm looking at is the Nazarene Way, which I believe would be, let's put it this way, the modern version of an Essene. The Essene Church continued on. So, I mean, I'm sure it's not a direct descendant, but these are kind of like, if Essenes existed today, these would be the guys. Because they also have other writings called, like, the Gospel of Peace, for example, which is a Essene writing, which there are manuscripts that are from the, within, you know, I guess we'll say 300-400 years that are attributed to Jesus, which they do have some manuscripts, one's in Austria in their museum. But that those pieces are very similar to some of the discourses found in the post-resurrection sermons in the Gospel of the Twelve. There's the music. And if anybody thought 3 hours was too long for this subject, obviously they're now realize that it's not long enough. But I think it was a good job. I think you did a good job of bringing your perspective as a document verifier to try and bring some, you know, proofs, if you will, for the validity of this. And what I try to do was point out, I think, in a more of the spiritual / textual way, how it compares and contrasts with the canonical gospels. All in all, I think it was a pretty enjoyable time.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Again, I couldn't have done it without a good, articulate host, so I appreciate that very much. You brought out what needed to be brought out in me, and that's what makes it a good show.
Well, this show is, as all, available free to download and share, so people can do that as well, and if you want a link to it from your site, you're more than welcome. So I want this information to get out so people can read this and kind of like smile. You know, it's kind of nice to see the real gospel message. It's really enlightening. It's good. It's wonderful. It's not nothing. It's not sad. It's very good. All right. So there we go. Lionel is there. HolyVirus.net. Again, you can buy his book, which includes this gospel as well as the work that I think is invaluable before reading it, for $5. It's a hardcover. That's pretty good stuff. I know I'm going to give you enough for Christmas this year. So you can you can go to your website and see the buy, and it'll tell them how to do it, right?
Yeah, they can reach it at holyvirus.com or holyvirus.net. It's controlled by both, so...
All righty. Well, thank you again, Lionel. God bless.
Thank you very much.
All right. Boy, these are some of the shows I love doing. It's kind of these two shows, instead of like focusing on oil spills and alien domination, it's kind of brings a lot of sense to the world. Makes you feel good. to be alive and look forward to what comes to hereafter. Well, hereafter, there'll be another live show next week. Reach for the skies within.
The one who walked before, the one who walked again, the ancient one of old, with wisdom for the new. Revive our inner sight, retell your timeless truths. Oh.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.